First, a quick message from our sponsors. Elm Coffee Roasters open in Pioneer Square in South Lake Union for takeout and soon indoor seating. Order coffee and more at elmcoffeeroasters.com. If you're looking for a place to live in the fall with student-friendly amenities, spectacular views, and that's walking distance to campus, check out The M Seattle. They are the only student living high-rise near UW, and they've recently dropped the rates on all their floor plans. Visit themseattle.com for more info. Hello, welcome to A More Perfect Union. My name is Simon Schumacher, and I am so excited to have you with me. Now, I just wanted to take some time to reflect on some of the conversations that we've had. The first thing that's apparent is that these conversations are not simple. I wish political discourse was a matter of pitting values against values, pitting facts or the latest research papers against each other. It's not, and people rarely show their cards. It's probably true that nobody does in totality. And I wish I could isolate people's politics. I wish I could say they believed X because of Y, that these values underpin that politics, and where they differentiate themselves from others is because of this worldview. But it's not that simple. And if it was, it would take someone much smarter than myself to figure it out. But nonetheless, I still want to talk about some of the things that I've heard over the course of our conversation. It's interesting. Reflecting upon my first conversation, there was a lot of interesting material, whether you agree with it or not, but I found myself quoting Wesley quite a bit when he said, "Who are you in the royal you?" That's verbatim. And I think what he meant by that is he has sympathy for those that occupy our history, the notion that we might not be so much better than the people who have come before us. And I don't think he says that to excuse whatever predated us, but to say that we don't know where we might fall in that moral distribution. And it necessitates an interesting conversation, because it seems to me as though that lens is looking at history as a struggle not to put better people into better places, but rather to create systems that never necessitate good people being there in the first place. And when Wesley talked about the welfare state or government handouts or whatever you want to refer to government disbursement of benefits, he brings up the idea that not a dollar can be transferred that is not going into the pockets of some direct or indirect constituency, that all policy runs along two dichotomies, the actual efficiency or efficacy of that policy, and the politics, the winners and losers that underpin it. And for someone with Wesley's political disposition, I don't know if that's libertarian or conservative or right-wing, that can be a non-starter for any number of policies. And whether or not you agree with that, whether or not you agree that maybe it is a constraint, something to be powered through, something to be overcome, or maybe just a trade-off that's worth making, it's worth acknowledging that it's there. Reflecting upon my conversations with DT and Ben, there's certainly also an attention paid to history and an attention paid to how power has played throughout history. They don't approach that lens in the same way that Wesley does. They take a different approach. It's one that looks at how groups have held power in society, whether they're religious or racial or national identities or economic class. From our conversation, it sounds like some groups with power dominate others, and that's not an unfair conclusion to draw, but it underpins their politics. I asked Ben if he entertained notions of class warfare, and he said it makes sense, but it's going to be put on the back burner when he thinks about this country's history of racism. Racism that he feels, and probably rightfully so, affects our economic, social, and political spheres today, and our politics have to reflect that. Aditi echoes that sentiment certainly when she talks about what it means to be a liberal progressive. She says the government has done too much in many, many, many aspects of people's lives. She talks about the government's regulation of people's ability to live their lives as they see fit. The government has had no qualms intervening in people's lives. But I think according to both these individuals, it's always been in the wrong way. According to them, the government has spent too much time legislating people's private actions and social lives, and not enough time writing checks. What I gathered to be important from these two individuals was that government satisfied certain material needs. Putting food on the table, putting a roof over the head, ensuring the medicine cabinet was full and that school was just a short, accessible, affordable trip away. And that is certainly a cocktail of values and worldviews informed by history, and informed by history in a different way than maybe Wesley is. I think about my conversation with Addie and Kendrick. They obviously look at politics in a global context. But history plays just the same role. The history that they see, the world that they see, is one that's dominated by U.S. and Western intervention. Whether it was colonialism predating World War II, or it's Cold War imperialism, or it's a culture that, according to them, is with us today. One that even I might reflect with something they call Orientalism, or an East versus West dichotomy. What's more complicated than just simple government structures or economic systems, Kendrick says, is more akin to 1984's Minute of Hate. Let's take a quick moment to hear from our sponsors. Open since 2015, Elm Coffee Roasters is devoted to high-quality coffee that's easy to brew at home and a joy to drink. At their roastery and cafe in Pioneer Square, Seattle, Elm obsessively roasts small batches of coffee that they source with a focus on sustainable practices that lift up the whole supply chain and protect the future of the coffee plant. Elm's goal is to make a truly exceptional cup of coffee and experience you look forward to every day. Cafes in Pioneer Square and South Lake Union open now for takeout and soon dine-in service. Please use code PODCAST at elmcoffeeroasters.com for 15% off your next coffee order. Let's get back to the show. But when I think of all these points that we can extrapolate from these conversations, I think the most unfortunate thing is that they're just worldviews in many ways. Just understandings of how things work, what the government can do legitimately, what it can't do. What is the nature of government disbursement? What benefits and costs is associated with that? But even those conversations are not conversations about values necessarily. One might sit there and say, I want everyone on this planet to be taken care of, and it hurts me so much to say, but there is no way for government to do that. All it can do is get out of the way and let them be successful for themselves. Conversely, others might sit there and say, a free market economy where people are responsible for taking care of themselves, they're responsible for engaging in mutually beneficial exchange, that is a rigged game from the start. That's wage slavery from the start. And some people might, in the middle, might have a problem with both of those politics. But those are just worldviews. Those are understandings of how people interact with our economy and our society at large. Understandings of who has power and who doesn't. Who has agency and who doesn't. And I think, unfortunately, when confronted with conversations about worldviews and values, you're confronted with a chicken and the egg situation where one usually comes first and it informs the other. Should the government do nothing because it shouldn't? Or should the government do nothing because it can't? That is a almost circular logic that I think we hear demonstrated too often. And I think that's unfortunate. Not to invalidate either of those two. I will certainly entertain that government can, so government should. It probably goes both ways. But I think most importantly is for us to understand that there is an unknown ocean in understanding how this world works. The world that Wesley sees, and the world that Ben sees, and the world that Aditi sees, and the world that Addie and Kendrick and myself see, they're infinitely different. But in having these conversations, you see values that are strikingly similar. We all seem to feign some shared values. It's not often that we explicitly signal feelings of apathy towards each other's well-beings. We certainly might embolden notions of self-reliance or communal reliance. We might signal different ways for us all to be taken care of, what the good life requires. Does it require a pick yourself up by the bootstraps mentality? Does it require going to whatever lengths to take care of one another? But I suppose the million-dollar question, are our values as consistent as they outwardly seem to be? Do we all have a shared vision for what we think the government should do if it was able, or should see done through whatever channels are most appropriate? Or is politics a battle of values more so than we let it on to be? So if my contribution as far as to tell you that I know less than I did before I started, that might not be the worst thing in the world. Thank you so much for going on this small adventure with me. My name is Simon Schumacher, and this has been A More Perfect Union.